Welcome to the Process Breakdown Podcast, where we talk about streamlining and scaling operations of your company, getting rid of bottlenecks, and giving your employees all the information they need to be successful at their jobs. Now, let's get started with the show.
Chad Franzen here, co-host of the Process Breakdown Podcast, where we talk about streamlining and scaling operations of your company, getting rid of bottlenecks, and giving your staff everything it needs to be successful at their jobs. Past guests include David Allen of Getting Things Done and Michael Gerber of the E-Myth, and many more. This episode is brought to you by Sweet Process. Have you had team members ask you the same questions over and over again, and this is the 10th time you spent explaining it? There's a better way and a solution. Sweet Process is a software that makes it drop-dead easy to train and onboard new staff and save time with existing staff. Not only do universities, banks, hospitals, and software companies use them, but first responder government agencies use them in life-or-death situations to run their operations. Use Sweet Process to document all the repetitive tasks that eat up your precious time so you can focus on growing your team and empowering them to do their best work. Sign up for a free 14-day trial. No credit card required. Go to sweetprocess.com. Sweet like candy, S-W-E-E-T, process.com. My guest today is Ted Pope. He is a co-founder of 2050 Partners Incorporated, a 40-plus person professional services firm that provides consulting support to utilities, governments, national laboratories, and nonprofits. He has 35 years of experience in the energy efficiency and demand-side management field. Ted, thanks so much for joining me today. How are you?
Great, Chad. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Hey, tell me a little bit more about 2050 Partners and what you guys do.
Yeah, so you introduced the basics. What we do more specifically is provide support for innovative decarbonization solutions, typically for large utilities, governments, and other types of clients. It's all focused on the energy transition. We help those clients that are trying to meet ambitious decarbonization goals. Our focus is data-driven insights. We do a lot of technical research, stakeholder engagement, regulatory advisory, and that type of thing. A lot of the work is around advocating on behalf of our clients for more enhanced building codes and appliance standards. So we do a variety of other things in the energy efficiency space, but that's the core of it.
As I mentioned, you're a co-founder. What kind of led you to get that started?
Yeah, it was really, I've been in the industry since 91 and was at a consulting firm prior to this for about 15 years and just wanted to branch out and kind of start my own business, doing fairly similar work to what was done before. But this time it's my shop.
What would you say is kind of the biggest pain point or problem or challenge that 2050 solves for customers?
Yeah, I wish I had a quick answer for that. So it's the complexity in the regulatory space that's overlaid on the technical complexity, the subjects. So for about two-thirds of our work that's related to appliance efficiency and building codes, there's over 100 different products and energy systems that are in commercial, residential, industrial buildings that need to be addressed as part of the work. And so you've got to be able to deliver a team that has expertise across, you know, the 100 plus different products and systems. So I think one of the challenges is getting all the right people onto a team that can respond at the pace required by the regulatory federal or state processes to do the work on a timely basis with the expertise. So, and it's not just technical understanding. You have to understand how regulations work, the very complex federal rulemaking processes that go on for years. So there's a lot of context that you have to be aware of. And our team has a lot of people with deep expertise. They come from other consulting shops in this area. They come from manufacturers that make the equipment that are the subject of our inquiries, and a variety of other, experts. A lot of our team are engineers by training and have advanced degrees. But I think it's really that intersection of regulatory process together with the very ability to understand really technical issues and do deep research.
As I mentioned, your team consists of 40 or more people. Can you describe maybe a typical client?
So a typical client would be a large Northern California utility, for example. So they have millions of customers, and many utilities around the country, as well as state agencies, are involved with running programs for customers to help them save energy. And a small component of these efficiency portfolios, they're called, has to do in some states with supporting the enhancement of appliance standards and building codes. We also support other what we call voluntary programs in those portfolios. And just to give you an example, in California, the efficiency portfolio historically has been funded nominally to about $1 billion a year. So it's a lot of ratepayer funds going into supporting energy efficiency and demand response, which lowers utility bills in the long run, and certainly the bills of those customers that participate. So it's typically utility or state government that's driving improved efficiency, better demand response to help support the grid, to balance out renewables as they come on as a generating resource, and just general decarbonization strategies where you move people from fossil fuel based end uses and replace that with electrified end uses. We know whether that's a stove or your automobile at home. Those are all opportunities that we support for our typical client.
So your team is very, very well educated and ready to do their jobs. But in terms of maybe standard operating procedures and things like that, you guys have been using Sweet Process for a while. How did you come across Sweet Process?
Well, I think I was predisposed. I'm a little bit of a process mapping nerd just from my days as a consultant going back a couple decades. Mm-hmm. But how we actually found out about Sweet Process is we were as a very young company, we were working with Bill Gallagher, who's a pretty well-known scaling up coach, and he has a podcast. And we noticed, and I think he even suggested to us that one of his funders was Sweet Process, and Owen was, you know, sponsoring some of those podcasts. And we were at a point where we agreed with Bill that we were, you know, getting beyond a few people. We needed to start documenting some of these administrative procedures, frankly, mostly. We looked at Trainual and several other SaaS products to see what made sense. And Sweet Process really jumped out at us because it's a fairly, what I call lightweight in a good sense. It's a simple tool that's very powerful, and it did exactly what we wanted it to. And in fact, we're not even using one of the features it has. A lot of the other tools had a lot more features and stuff stapled to them, and that drove up cost and wasn't interesting to us. So it was a well crafted solution to our situation. Again, I really like it. It's just such a simple to use tool. It's very intuitive. And so we signed up and started working on that. At the time, Alex and I, my co-owner, had joined a group called Collective 54, which is for professional boutique professional service firms. One of the topics you talk about with other founders and leaders of companies is the need to document your repeated processes, particularly as you try and grow, scale, and exit your company, which is the focus of Collective 54. And just hearing from a number of other founders who were a few years ahead of us in their growth curves, and all the bigger firms had been through the documentation process and swore by it. And everybody agreed it was a really daunting process to approach. But they're like, hey, if we didn't do that, we wouldn't be where we are. You've got to do it. So it can look daunting, but we doubled down and hired a college friend of mine, Shelby Spock, who I knew from Cornell days. And she had been with a number of big name consultants in her career, and she was just looking for a part-time opportunity, so we brought her on part-time. The plan was 8 to 12 months. She ended up staying a little longer and doing some other things, but she took the lead and really learned a Sweet Process, got to know Owen real well with all her questions on how to optimize things, and really built out a robust Sweet Process platform for us, with the primary focus, frankly, on administrative tasks. I may be getting too far out ahead of your question. Should I keep
No,
going?
you're no, this is great. So you guys really, I mean, you were a fairly young company, I guess, when you started using Sweet Process, and you just kind of were, you hadn't documented anything up until that point. You just kind of took every situation as it came.
Well, you know, I think technically when we actually signed on the dotted line with the Sweet Process, we might have been 15 people. But, you know, Alex and my wife and co-founder, Whitney, and I, the three of us were the leaders of the company. And we were doing most of the administrative stuff between the three of us. And we'd just been doing it. We knew how to do it. We didn't need it written down, really. Although, you know, as I get older, I get more forgetful. So it's helpful for that. But we were at the point where we were starting to push down some of that to other folks. And you just have to have it written. You can't do it effectively by word of mouth. And we probably did use some of that. So we had documented some in Word documents and Excel, but it's just too messy and disorganized. And we were focused on scaling. Our Vivid Vision document back then said we'd be at about 50 people by the end of this year, which we're on track to do, fortunately. And so we knew we had to have a system that was robust for that kind of growth over, you know, a 5-year period. And so Word documents and, you know, emails and Excel files scattered around was just never going to work. We wanted something a lot slicker. And just candidly, not only can you document in very clear step function in Sweet Process, but for me, one of the closing features was you can, once you define a procedure, which is a series of steps you have to take to do something, you can then assign a specific instance of doing that procedure to anyone in the company. And so you define a process for, you know, setting up your computer on your first day. And then once you've defined that in Sweet Process, you can assign it to the new employee, and it comes in on their dashboard. It says, you need to do this procedure, and they click into it, and it just steps them through step by step everything they need to do, with links to resources, you know, all kinds of content to help them do the job. So that, and it, you know, it has this dashboard. So I'm not getting to my point. My point is you can assign a specific instance and it records the progress. You can look in the dashboard and see that person has been assigned that task. Mm-hmm. They're 10% through, they're 90% through, whatever. They can put notes as they go through and say, I had trouble with this, or something else went sideways. You should update this. That stays with the specific task that was assigned to them. And so as an employer, when they're done, you now have a record that Joe Blow completed this procedure as task X on such and such a date. And here's the feedback they provided as part of it. And it's proof that they went through and did it, as long as they honestly filled out the task process flow, of course. So that tasking was huge value in our mind that went beyond just having documentation in a Word file or Excel file. It's just a different world when you have that functionality.
Yeah, that's great. So it sounds like your decision to use Sweet Process was pretty proactive, not so much like, oh, we're buried in paperwork or something. You were anticipating growth, and this was a way to kind of make it easier on all of you.
Yeah, I'd seen how it works in environments where you don't lean forward and build things ahead of time. And I didn't want that, because when that happens, and it happens to all of us sometimes, no matter how you try and be ready for the future, you know, you hit that pain point and you have to start from scratch to build your solution. And it could take 3 months, you know, 6 months to build a solution. And the whole time you're in pain because you already needed it when you realize. So that was our mindset, was looking out ahead. Where are we going to be? What systems do we need to support that growth and quality assurance for our client work products and all those things? And so something like this, again, we lean on it a lot more for corporate administration and HR than we do for our work. And when we get to it, we can talk about why that is. But that was a very appealing aspect that closed the deal for me.
So how does the people who are affected by those types of tasks and processes, how is their life potentially improved as a result of being able to use Sweet Process?
I think so, because it's pretty daunting when someone says, hey, can you process this new subcontract in? Actually, I should take a little detour to tell you, one of the things about our business is we have scores of subcontractors, because as I mentioned, we have to be able to respond to client needs across 100 plus technologies and systems of technologies. And so in order to have an expert on our team on some, you know, something like elevators, for example, you know, you need a subcontractor for that. Because, you know, when you're a modest sized company like us, you cannot have an elevator expert on your team because there just isn't enough work on elevators. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a tremendous amount of invoicing to our clients of subcontractors and tons of subcontracting, which involves a lot of administrative steps, as you can imagine, to come mm-hmm. up with legal documents that support those, you know, those roles. So there's a lot of steps in something like that. And when somebody's new to it or they only do it once or twice a year, you forget everything you're supposed to do. And so I think people see it as relief that they get this paint by numbers checklist to follow to do the exercise, and it points them off to resources and background documents and everything. So I think it's a very positive thing. And in the case of onboarding, we use it very aggressively for onboarding, and I can talk more about that if you want, but it allows us to ensure that the new employee gets exposed to the exact same stuff that every other new employee got exposed to. But the benefit to the employee is they can go at their own pace as they work through this automated onboarding process that in the pre-days before we joined Suite Process, that was me lecturing away for 3 or 4 hours on boring myself to death talking about cybersecurity and IT issues and how we do our network and all that stuff. When it's in a Suite Process procedure assigned as a task, it's in bite-sized pieces. They work through, they get it right the first time. In the case of learning, the onboarding part is all about educating on all these things. And of course, new employees are going to forget a bunch of stuff they learned in the first few days. So they can go right back to that task in Suite Process and dial into this specific spot where they know there was something presented, but they forgot what it is. So it gives them, they don't have to call me up as a company leader and bug me with some dumb IT question. They can go back into that onboarding module that's baked into procedures and Suite Process and get the information they need to be reminded how to do something. So I think that frees them up. They can go through the onboarding at their own pace. They can go back and recheck things.
Great. So you're using Suite Process in multiple ways now. From a big picture standpoint, with Suite Process kind of in place, what's maybe the next big goal you want to achieve at 2050 Partners?
I'd like to see us do more documenting of repeat client work related stuff. We have some of that, but where we really leaned in was administrative. Our work, it tends to be multi-year, big projects. They're complicated. And so it's not, you know, we're definitely in the elephant hunter category. And so our work is fairly bespoke and it's done in close collaboration with our client project managers. We kind of become an embedded team and work mm-hmm. with them on their projects. So whereas I think some consulting firms do the kind of work where they're in and out in a few weeks or a few months, and that is probably going to be more, have a lot more clearly repeated process you could document it. Ours is a little more bespoke, but there are still plenty of things in some of our project work that that, you know, distill down nicely to our repeat process. So I think over time we're slowly accreting that client work related repeat process into Suite Process, but that's still something that's not been fully, you know, taken advantage of by our team.
I have one more question for you, but how can people find out more about 2050 Partners?
They can certainly go to our website, which is www.2050partners.com, and that's 2050partners.com.
Okay. This question has a pretty predictable answer given our discussion so far, but what is the very next step someone listening should take to streamline operations?
I mean, you need to think about where you're trying to get to develop the higher context. And if you have a 5-person company and that's your plan to be a 5-person company for the next 20 years, you're going to do something different than if you're planning on growing. So I think knowing your use case at a high level is step number one. Once you, you know, as part of determining what your need is for mapping your processes, then I think it's good to identify what repeat processes you have. And that's not necessarily a small task, but you can start with the most critical, most frequently repeated tasks. Or if you're in a process of delegating downwards in your organization, look for those tasks that you've been thinking about. You could kick that over to someone else. And I'd say come up with a list of the repeat process and then start detailing them out. And, if you realize you have a decent amount, I would encourage getting a tool. But it doesn't hurt to start out, on the back of a napkin or just in a Word document to start exploring what that looks like. But if you know you're going to do a fair bit, I wouldn't get too far without a tool like Sweet Process, because that's a convenient environment to build the detailed steps that it takes to define a process. But you certainly want to identify what those processes are first to see what the workload looks like.
Okay, sounds good. Hey, Ted, it's been great to talk to you. Thanks so much for your time and for joining me today.
My pleasure.
So long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Process Breakdown Podcast. Before you go, quick question. Do you want a tool that makes it easy to document processes, procedures, and/or policies for your company so that your employees have all the information they need to be successful at their job? If yes, sign up for a free 14-day trial of Sweet Process. No credit card is required to sign up. Go to sweetprocess.com, sweet like candy, and process like process.com. Go now to sweetprocess.com and sign up for your risk-free 14-day trial.
Hi, this is Owen, the CEO and co-founder here at Sweet Process. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast interview, you know what I want you to do? Go ahead and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That way we get more people aware of the good stuff that you get here on this podcast. Again, go on to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Looking forward to reading your review. Have a good day.